Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our latest edition of the live roundtable webinar here from Agency Revolution. Today's topic, marketing in 2019. Very excited for the panel we have. I've been anxiously looking forward to getting this group of gentlemen together and having this conversation as marketing becomes more and more prevalent in the independent insurance space. So let's, I want to get into the questions, but let's do a quick round the table. Who's who? Robert Canope, CEO of Assist You Today, social selling expert. He's at the forefront of one of the most essential aspects of modern marketing, social media. Robert specializes in creating custom sales and marketing programs that enable you to turn your social media activity into real meetings that become real sales at a rate cold calling can't touch. Robert, really glad to have you. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Rick.
Michael De La Grange, other than the gigantic O sitting behind him for Oregon, him and I have a Washington-Oregon rivalry, but we'll leave that for another day. He's the founder and president of the Insurance Lounge, using an innovative approach that combines the best features of both traditional retail agency and the online insurance shopping experience. Michael has invented new distribution models for insurance, really different, and he's got a different feel to his agency. They're both in person and online. They're not just attracting local attention, and this is inspiring investors to help scale Michael's vision and bring that onto the national stage. Michael did play football at Oregon, so I'll give him a pass on that. And Michael, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
Brent Shepard, founder and president of Zanatech, AMS system, a partner with Agency Revolution, a great partner with Agency Revolution. Brent is keenly aware of the impact technology has had on the day-to-day operations of today's insurance agency. He's actually helping drive that evolution with the software that they make and produce. Brent Shepard's experience building one of the most exciting AMSs on the market for small to medium insurance agencies and vast technology expertise give him a unique view of how running and growing an insurance agency has evolved and transformed over the years. And getting his perspective here on marketing will be great as well. Brent, welcome.
Thank you.
And then last and certainly not least, Tyler McConville. He is the vice president of marketing at FMG Suite. FMG Suite, for those that don't know, is the parent company of Agency Revolution. So Tyler and I work closely together. Tyler's been doing this marketing thing for the last 15 years, guiding digital marketing teams, implementing new technologies, launching integrated strategies to drive growth for insurance agents, financial advisors, and many, many more industries. Tyler's position and deep understanding of the principles of marketing, the trends affecting our industry, gives him keen insight into how marketing has evolved over the years. And I think it's important to say that Tyler and I have been working together for about a year. Tyler came in fresh out, not in the insurance space, and to get his perspective and have him learn without any preconceived notions of how marketing is, has been, is, and will be in the future, it's really good to have him on, and his insight will be very informational for everybody. Tyler, welcome.
Thanks, Rick. I hope I can live up to that.
Yeah, that's I put it on you right there. So so I think the best way to start this would be to talk about maybe what is, you know, where we've been, where we are, and where we're heading in this marketing world of for the insurance agent. So I'm going to start. I'm going to ask all you the same question. What makes marketing different today than it was, say, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? And I'll jump right over to my friend, Michael. Michael?
Yeah, thanks, Rick. The biggest thing, you know, with the rise of social media, I think, you know, that's completely changed the whole landscape of marketing in general. But, you know, the foundation of marketing being a key piece to the insurance industry hasn't changed. So So, you know, with the millennials and social media and where that's going, I think that's the biggest thing from my perspective of how people need to change with the changing landscape with the millennials and social media.
I would agree. I would agree. Robert, your input?
Yeah, I would say to echo that, what Michael said, it used to be all face-to-face, and then it was via phone or even via fax in the 80s and 90s. Remember, we would do marketing, and then email.
And, oh, gosh.
Yeah, exactly. And now, I mean, social media, it's so much easier to get in front of the key decision-makers at large companies for commercial lines, and then for individuals, it's so much easier to get them to respond and to look at your ads and marketing on something like a Facebook than an email open rate. It's just, as Michael says, totally changed the game.
And I think what's interesting too, when you talk about marketing, that's sort of that outbound outreach marketing, and so much now that's changed as well. And I, just to give my two cents, is with brand awareness and how do you market yourself as a brand for people that, you know, I think we've all talked to people in the space that say, well, we're a referral agency. We just work off referrals. That's great. But if, you know, Tyler and I are friends, and if Tyler says to me, hey, you need to call this insurance agent, the first thing I'm doing is going online and checking them out. And that brand, that whatever they've put out there to the world is as important as anything else. If I'm not being social, if I don't have a following, if my last post on my Facebook page was 2014, I've already lost that referral that Tyler gave me, or that, you know, that this agency might have gotten from Tyler, because I'm not interested. So as social media changes, it also changes the way we brand ourselves and the way we present ourselves for people that might already have some interest, but they need to see that we're real as well. Brent, your input?
I think I'll agree with those guys, but I think too, the advent of the social media gives an agent a lot of personalization they can do with their advertising, target markets, niche markets, a little bit different than what you could do in the past. But I think also, you know, the pure number of places that an agency can market is exponential now compared to, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it was a phone book and a billboard.
Yeah.
And, you know, the basketball program or whatever. So yeah. I think that's a big challenge, because you still got to pick a place, but you got to still be on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and Google Ads, or you know, the list keeps going.
I think what's great about the people we have on this is that the different perspective, because, you know, Brent is working on the management system side, and that is such a, it's so true that building that relationship and being able to use that data to be targeted, to be tactical, is has changed over the years as well. Because it used to be, I'm gonna send a fax to everyone, and now it's like, well, I can send a fax, or I can send an email, or a social post, or I can boost my LinkedIn ads to this specific targeted group. Tyler, any input?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting what everybody said. And when I read this question, one of the things I thought about was, how do I bring context to the marketing that we do, and what's actually changed? And I think that technology, and this will resonate with this group, has been the biggest thing that's changed over the last 20 years, right? If we think about 20 years ago, we're talking about pre-email, and then 5 years ago, 10 years ago, in some cases, pre-Facebook. So that has changed, but fundamentally the goal of the marketing that we do, and I think this sits at the foundation of a lot of other marketing, is the idea of relationships, right? And that, because now we can not only market to our prospects through social media, we can be a lot more targeted. That's really important, but that also the current client base that we have,
yes,
can be touched by our marketing, and that can enhance the relationship in really meaningful ways, and especially when you can target that group of people very closely. But it also presents risk, right? Because you can potentially damage the relationship as well. So thinking about things in terms of relationship, for me, just that's what marketing has always been. So how does that drive the conversation? And then the technology that is the thing that allows us to do that a little better way at scale.
And I think kind of the old school thinking in insurance was you had the ability to have a personal relationship, to see them at the grocery store. As the industry has changed, as the consumer has changed, and as you've needed to have so many more customers to be relevant for your agency to succeed, we've had to figure out ways to be one to many instead of one to one. So I want to ask this question: personal relationships, are they as important to marketing an insurance agency today as they were 10 years ago? And how has that sort of changed? And I'll go to Brent first on that one.
So I'm going to say yes, it is still very important. And I think a few reasons. One, it really depends on where you're located. You know, if you're in a rural community, a lot of my agents will tell me they take in $7,000 a day in payments. People are still walking in their door, dropping off checks. But if you're in a rural area, or I'm sorry, more of an urban area, looking at, let's say, Atlanta or Chicago, probably not as much, because you can do a lot of social media, because I think the culture is different and they expect different things. But I also would look at that on the type of business you're marketing to, because on a personal lines, you might get away with a lot less personal relationship, where as a business owner myself, I want to have a little trust in my agent and know that they know what I'm talking about or what I need to cover my tail or my business. And then as my business grows, I want them to be aware of that and be proactive, if you will, knowing that I may need more coverage or more help, or, you know, whatever my situation is, they can be more attuned to that. Where if you're not with that personal relationship, I don't think you'll get that kind of attention.
Michael, being in the, you know, in it day to day, what would you say to that? Would you agree with Brent? Do you have your own input on that?
So I would disagree, just because from a generalist perspective, I think it's no. But Brent's right in specific scenarios, depending on what product lines you focus on, what type of customer you deal with, it can be more important. But in general, from my perspective, you know, well, it's really, what is a personal relationship anymore? You can build these relationships not face to face. So you can have personal relationships in so many different mediums now. And what we try to do at Insurance Lounge is to build a brand relationship. Kind of going back to how important it is to build a brand. You know, I know some agencies focus on that personal relationship, but we try to focus on a brand relationship and what that brand brings, you know, to the consumer. So in general, I would say no, but there's definitely situations, especially like commercial, where business owners expect face-to-face interaction. But in general, no.
Well, and I think to your point, Michael, a lot of that is changed because of the consumer behavior. The consumer has changed. Their expectation, you know, back in the day was you'd give them a phone call and they'd pick up and you'd have a conversation. They don't want to call anymore. 86% of insurance customers that were surveyed said, do not call me. So while they might still have a personal relationship, it to your point, it means something different. I think Brent is spot on with the specifics of it, but on the generic level, that you can have those relationships in a much different way. Robert, do you want to add?
Yeah, I think the way I always look at it is about adding value. You can add value from a personal relationship perspective, if that's what they want. I like Michael's point around commercial, because I think that is much different. I think you do need that personal relationship. But if you're adding value, you're going to keep that client, because everyone views insurance as commoditized. We all think that our products and services are purple unicorns. They're much different than anybody else's. They're specialized. No one has what I have. But the consumer, it's all the same thing. I was speaking with a friend of mine who works for State Farm recently, and he lost a client over $2 a month. It's all commoditized. So wow. You add value outside of your products by adding that extra level of service, by creating those personal relationships. And to Michael's point, that could just be done online. You could just be adding value here and there through content, whatever that may be. But that value add is what's going to make the difference in a retention situation.
And I want to say to the audience, on your panel there, you can type in questions. We will save some time at the end for a little Q&A with the panel. So do type in any questions you might want to add in here, And we will leave a little time at the end for all of these gentlemen to give their contact info so you guys will know how to reach out to them on LinkedIn or wherever they want to be reached. So let's talk a little bit about, I think this is interesting because when I talk to anyone that I talk to, a lot of these people are still using something that is maybe it feels old school, you know what I mean? But I want to ask this question. What old school strategy, whatever that is, will never lose value? Like something that will stand the test of time. Tyler, we'll start with you.
Yeah, one of the really interesting evolutions in my career has been I've been immersed in digital marketing for the vast majority of my experience with marketing. And especially coming into this space, finding that there's tools that have been around for a long time, like print, that people decried that it was dead. And I think used in the right way and through an authentic brand or personal voice, it can have real impact. So I don't know if that's a technology that never goes away, but I think it's one that people in the past has sort of written off as not a really good way to market to people, but in the right situations, it can be extremely effective. And I think there's a lot of other things out there in the world like that, where if you can differentiate yourself through the channel that you're marketing through, you can make an impact. And at the end of the day, that's really what you're looking to do, create a moment.
And with the changes, I think, sending a really cool postcard or a holiday card or something like that does differentiate you now, because there's not as many people doing it. So you're right, I think, on that. Robert?
Yeah, I would agree. Something I would add to that is face-to-face. You can't really do it from a PNC perspective. You have thousands of clients, but for those commercial lines or high net worth clients, they still expect that white glove treatment. And, personally, from my agency, I try to do this as much as possible. I try to get in front of people, especially the bigger engagements that we have, as much as possible, especially to kick off an engagement, to make sure you develop that rapport, that camaraderie, make sure you have that face-to-face time. People I've found are much more forthcoming in person than they are, via phone, for example, or even online. So I think face-to-face is still really valuable, although it's fleeting. People are so on the go nowadays, it's a challenge.
Yeah. Michael?
For me, I think it's just caring about the community you're doing business in. From my perspective, that's really what people care about. That's what I care about personally. If you care about the community you're doing business in, whether it's a small local community, a national community, if you're giving back, people can see that. People see you're genuine. That's something that will never get old.
And I think there's such a beautiful way to get that out into the public more now, because if you use social media, like some of the software we have will do social scheduling. It has content built in. It'll give information. It's very value add. But we tell all of our customers at the same time, be personal as well. Be posting, to your point. If I'm giving back to the community, if I'm in the community, put that on your social pages. That's how you build that personal brand. So while it's an old school strategy, you can employ new school technologies to get that out and make that more relevant. Because I remember back in the day, we did a lot of stuff I was an agency owner. We were involved in a lot of things, but not very many people knew about it other than the people that were at those things, and that we weren't doing it for, we were doing it to do good things, but as long as you are, you may as well let everybody else know that's your personality of your agency or what you're trying to accomplish. So I think that's spot on, Michael. Brent, do you have anything to add to this?
I'll kind of piggyback on Robert, because I believe picking up the phone is a really good thing to do still. I joke, but have you ever tried to argue with your wife in email? It's really difficult. Exactly. So sometimes when you're trying to make the message in a text or in an email, it just doesn't work. And just picking up the phone and having that live voice makes a big difference.
And I think one thing that's old school and it's maybe wasn't even ever a thing, but should have always been a thing, and the people that have been most successful and used it, is tracking what you're doing and using some kind of ability to, like, whether that's brand new technology or old school postcards or whatever that is, even back in the day when you had Yellow Page ads, and finding out how many people are calling you from that, seeing if you're paying for it. I think staying tracked on that so that you can get off of something if it's not working sooner is, to me, something that will stand the test of time. So what we always heard the term, like, marketing waves, like the newest, brightest, the shiny toy. Anything out there marketing waves wise that's crested or plateaued in your minds? Michael?
So in general, you know, we keep going back to social media, you know, with this new wave in general. But there is some very economical ways to do, you know, like for in Instagram, the stories, doing paid stories and stuff like that. You know, that's a very inexpensive way that people are starting to hear more and more about. So it's becoming more mainstream. You know, I know Gary Vee, I think, pushes that a lot as one of the most economical ways. But it hasn't crested yet, but it's headed that way. And, you know, voice is another huge arena that insurance hasn't had a huge footprint in yet that I think is kind of the next wave of marketing and getting in front of people. I know some big national carriers on the insurance side are really putting some big investment into voice. So those are the two, I think, that are starting to crest and starting to gain some momentum.
Interesting that kind of in the midst of it, but also you can see there may be a little writing on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Robert?
I would say websites. I know it sounds crazy, but why try to pull someone back to your website when they spend 3 hours a day on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter? Just go where your audience is. I think websites nowadays, unless you're selling specifically through your site, and you can still do that through those social media sites, your website's really just there for window dressing to show that you're credible, you're viable, that you are a real company selling to real people. Besides that, spend your time and effort on those outposts, because that's where your clients are. So don't try to pull them back. Just stay where they are. Put your experiences and your presence there. Focus on that.
Brent?
I have to say email. It's maybe not gone and dead yet. The 400 emails I get a day, it's hard not to just hit the delete button on many of them. So I think, you know, that used to be a really great way. And we got a lot of customers that way. But it's so much noise out there with email.
It's funny. I just over the weekend, I was talking to a basketball coach and my son's basketball coach. And I'm like, well, I'll shoot you an email. He's like, just DM me on Instagram and I'll get it easier that way. And it was like just right off the end of his tongue. Just like, no, it's going to get stuck in my email with the other 100 that I'm going to be looking at. Just send me a DM on Instagram. That was the easiest way to get him. It's crazy. Tyler.
Yeah. I think all these things, they come and they go, right? And people learn how to use technologies in ways that may be surprising. So what may be cresting now in social, I think people that use social in really effective ways can drive a ton of traffic. Robert, I loved your idea of these outposts, but we still see websites being such a great lead driver for a lot of businesses when they use it in the right way. So I think that there is this noise that occurs in the marketplace over time with new technologies. And if you can be part of that first wave, you can, I think, gain a lot of traction and interest because of it. And then people will move away from it. And there's this period when people are moving away that I think that you can step in and have an effect in meaningful ways. I also think that idea of what's easiest for people, you know, that someone would ask you to get in touch with them via a DM, you can't be resistant to that. You may decide you're going to go down one channel and go,
right,
oh, this doesn't work. And, you know, having that data we talked about a little bit earlier is key to understanding when that happens and being able to pivot. So whatever you're doing, move towards the most effective way to interact with your clients and your prospects is just what I would encourage.
Yeah. And I think as we're sort of on the topic of waves and, you know, old school strategies and things like that, it's important to sort of like define, let me just take a pause on kind of the broad and define marketing, because we are still talking about two sort of different marketing end games, which is, one is marketing to drive new business and drive new prospects and drive awareness of your brand and your company. your agency. The other is to the marketing that goes to your existing customers. That's the value add that shows them that you are relevant, that you are there for them. Another survey that was done recently, I think it was by Deloitte, said 60% of insurance consumers felt like once they wrote the first check or paid their first bill, they never heard from their agent again. And they're going to hear from other people. They're going to watch the Super Bowl and see way too many Geico commercials. And there's a lot of noise out there. So as the people that are listening in, we are talking about the kind of the breadth of the entire marketing, but those are two very specific things that we're trying to accomplish. Is any agency needs to be acquiring new business, getting new prospects in the front door. But at the same time, marketing does need to also encapsulate what we're doing for our existing customers to retain that business. And I think Tyler made a really good point there about, you know, listening to what they want. It does not take much in a system like Brent's AMS to tag those kind of things with, this is a phone call only, this person wants a phone call, this person is tired of being emailed. That kind of information readily available in a lot of the AMSs, again, Zanatech being a very good example of that. That is, to me, where the rubber meets the road. We can get on Facebook all day long, and if we're not doing the right things, to Robert, you know, well, this is what Robert does. So he helps people with this kind of stuff. You've got to be speaking a language that is personal, but is also speaking to two sort of different groupings. Anybody want to add to that or move on to the next? Yeah, I kind of
with expectations too. You look at Amazon, for example. They know everything about you, and they tailor everything they show you online, the products they offer, whatever that may be, to your expectations. You look at hotel chains. They know all your preferences. Airlines, they know all your preferences. They know everything about you and tailor their messages and their offerings towards you. And if we're not doing that in this world, then we're not meeting expectations nowadays. So I think the expectations of the consumer based on other industries, other verticals outside of insurance have really affected customers inside of insurance. And we need to be able to quickly adapt to that.
So I think we've done a good job so far of covering kind of what's out there, what's going on. I'd like to kind of make this a little more specific as people, you know, taking out their keyboard and typing or their pens and writing, what do you have planned or what do you think is going to be big? So here's the question. What's the most exciting outreach effort you have planned for 2019? And that could be a personal thing for your business. It could be, in Michael's case, specific to a niche or a customer. But for Tyler, it could be for Agency Revolution. But what is it that's, you know, exciting and people might go, oh, that's very interesting. I should take a look at that. Tyler, you go first.
Yeah, you got it. We have, as you talked about in the lead-in, been running a podcast for the last year. Plus, and we've just seen such great interaction there as a way to connect with our community of both users and people that are interested in marketing in the industry across the board. It's just a really interesting piece of content that we put out, and it's very interactive and has a very specific way of interacting with our community. So we're bringing other voices into that podcast over the next year. And we're just super excited to be able to do that and to reach out to a wider audience. So that's one of the really cool things that we've got on the agenda for the year, and just looking forward to seeing how that goes.
Robert?
Well, first, a couple of things. First and foremost, from a marketing perspective, more video. As people spend, yes, you know, 12, 13, 14 hours a day online, I hate looking at myself in front of the camera. I actually have myself covered right now because I don't like looking at myself while this is going on. But it's just,
I was noticing that my head looks bigger than everybody else's head. Is that just me, or is that really happening? Thank you, Mike.
Really. But it's such a necessity nowadays because channels like Facebook, like LinkedIn, their algorithms prioritize video content over everything else. So if you're not doing video content, you're not getting out to as many people as the people are using video. So just at the end of the day, it just becomes about eyeballs. In some cases, you want to get your message out there. If you want to continue to add value, you got to add video to your repertoire from a marketing perspective. And also for us, we're focusing a lot more on innovation this year as well. Last year, I was out on the road speaking on innovation of, you know, four or five different companies and a couple of conferences. So we'll be doing more of that this year to augment what we do from a sales, marketing, and social media perspective.
Well, Robert, you're good at this because, you, like you said, you're out there speaking and informing people. And Tyler hit this from an agency revolution perspective. If you're listening to this, you are part of what we think is important, which is sharing information within this industry. The podcast has been extremely successful, mainly because people, I think, are looking for information. And in the insurance space, to have that, it's crucial for consumers to have access to somebody who knows what they're talking about, has that same level of influence on them. So I think you're both spot on. Michael, your opinions here, what you plan or what's exciting?
Yeah, this year, 2019, is a big year for Insurance Lounge. We created that store for insurance that kind of looks like an Apple store.
Yep.
It's in a retail, high-end retail setting. So marketing in general, that's a big piece of our marketing, is just the look and feel and visibility of our stores. But we also created these boxes you see back here. We wanted to create a tangible representation of insurance. So we created this insurance box for each product that we represent. We give it to our clients to take home with them, so they have something tangible with all their policy information inside. And we're really going to be expanding that this year. We're going to be using it on a couple different marketing ways besides just in store. And then we're rolling out a digital platform that we're really excited about later this year that's going to be super unique to the industry. So that's going to be our biggest wow moment for 2019.
I love the boxes. That's such a, it almost goes all the way back to what Tyler was saying on another question about print. To go back to kind of that old school vibe, it almost looks, from here, it almost looks like a video game box. It's so awesome. It looks really, that's great. And again, at the end, we'll have Michael tell you where you can find him. So if any of that's interesting and you want to follow up with him, we will save room for Q&A, but there's one right here that I want to get to. What is the podcast called? So just go to Agency Revolution, click on the media tab in the top, and it is called the Connected Insurance Podcast. You can also get that at the iTunes store and any other where you can download it. So the Connected Insurance Podcast by Agency Revolution. Wanted to answer that question and get a little plug in for ourselves.
There you go.
We just passed 100 episodes. So they're all there. They're all good. And like Tyler said, excited for some of the new stuff that's coming this year, where we'll be changing some of the formatting and getting more interactive with some other voices. So very, very excited about that. Okay, so next question is good modern marketing all about the digital landscape, or are there other avenues we need to pay just as much attention to? And I'll start that with Brent.
No, I do think you still need to look at the relationship side. I'm never going to dismiss that.
So I'm getting the impression, Brent, that you think the relationship's kind of important.
I do. Yeah. You know, I think too, the difference is my viewpoint is just slightly different, and being, I'm more what we would consider a B2B business, business to business, where on the retail side, there's a lot of things that are different. But I think the independent agent market cannot be too digital or too technical, because then you're just becoming a Geico. You can never have a conversation with anybody at Geico, but what happens when you have a claim or you have a real question? You know, one of the things you think about is, like, you ever called the phone company and you have like 46 prompts you go through? It's very
cable company.
The cable company. Exactly. I called my health provider the other day. I'll leave them nameless, but I think it took me 10 minutes to get to the prompts, and then I was still in the wrong department that I needed to get to. So I think you still have to focus on the customer and the customer service, and making sure that even with all the technology that we use it properly to satisfy the customer, not to kind of tick them off because they can't get to who they want to talk to.
Michael?
Well, we're not scared to try everything and anything. So we'll try everything one or two times to see, you know, check the analytics constantly to make sure you're not wasting money. But, you know, one of our most as forward thinking we are on the tech side, one of our most successful marketing pieces is a turning 65 mailer. So it's kind of funny, like we don't, focus on any specific area. We just do everything. And for certain markets, certain things work, and certain markets, certain things don't work. So what I would say to everybody out there is just try everything, and what works for us may not work for you, and vice versa. So don't be afraid to try something, but definitely track the analytics, make sure you're looking at it constantly, and be able to change. If something isn't working, change, try something new.
And Tyler, having so much experience outside of the insurance space, that was probably a little bit eye-opening when you got here to see how much of this space was still, not quite as far into the digital landscape. And now as agencies are catching up, and there are a lot of forward-thinking agencies out there, I think Michael's agency being one of them. Tyler, would you agree? Did you see that coming in? And then what are your comments on the digital landscape and other avenues?
Yeah, I mean, I came from the banking industry by way of another industry. So banking is probably the only industry that's less forward thinking in many ways. So maybe even you're selling yourself short. Maybe I was surprised at how progressive everybody was.
You're like, wow, these guys have email addresses.
Yeah, right. But I love this idea of service and experience. We talked about how a lot of these things, the products that are provided, are essentially commodities, and that at the end of the day, the thing that differentiates you is the service and value you provide and the authentic brand or personality that we talked about earlier. And so whatever way you can find to expand that and use it in more specific ways to create better relationships, I'm all for it. Like Michael brought up a good point. Don't be afraid to try stuff and really understand how it's working for you. And if it's not, try something else. And if it is, but be comfortable with that, because that can open up new doors that you never even really thought of.
Robert?
Speaking of it, I mean, that'd be the one thing I would add to digital. We get 100% of our business from LinkedIn and conferences. So, for example, this webcast we've got hundreds of people watching right now, but the ads that you sent out beforehand, that I sent out beforehand, those are seen by thousands, tens of thousands. So it's a great way to get your name out there, so that you know what you're doing, you're talented, you're speaking on this topic, you're at this conference, it's got 2,000 people there. So dang, you must know at least a little bit of what you're talking about.
Right.
And then pair that with the digital for promotion before, during, after, send out messages before you go to the conference, through your social media channels. I'll give you an example. I was in Atlanta at a conference about a year, year and a half ago. And before I went there, I looked through my connections, and there were 11 people that I was connected with on LinkedIn, but I'd never met in person. And so those 11 people, I sent out 11 private messages. I got 9 responses, and I set up 6 meetings and closed 1 deal just while I was at the conference itself. It was great that I was speaking there. That was nice. But the biggest value was being there, letting people know about it, and then the additional things that you can add to that. So pairing things like conferences and events with those digital mediums, that's huge.
Great.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And Michael hit on this, but I want to shift the topic a little bit to analytics and sort of tracking. What are the most important ways to track the success and progress of any marketing efforts, or ways that you've found to be successful? And I want to add a second part to that. You don't have to answer all of this, but at what point do you say, how long do you experiment with a strategy before you might abandon it or move away? Start with Tyler.
Yeah, this is one of the most critical parts of marketing that people tend to miss. So defining the goals up front, what are you trying to achieve? And then setting milestones for those goals. So everybody who's participating in it, whether it's just you or it's you and a team, knows what you're aiming for and has check marks along the way to reorient. And then also setting timeframes around whatever effort that you're engaged in. How long do we think this is going to take? And are we meeting the goals along the way? Are the three components of really being successful with this stuff. And as you indicated, knowing when to either pull the plug or dump more resources into it. So setting that up in advance and having everybody be on the same page is absolutely critical to being successful. And then consistency within that, because when you're in the middle of a campaign, and it's sometimes very easy to walk away from it and not stay focused on those milestones, especially if it happens over a long period of time. So just that consistency within the team that's operating the outreach is absolutely critical. And then looking at the goals, being honest about whether or not you're successful.
Brent?
Tyler said it really well.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Like, he did.
Dropped the mic on that one almost. That was good, Tyler.
The only thing I would add is really tracking the analytics, though. I think too many agents in particular, they start a marketing campaign, but they don't follow through
100%
or track it very well to figure out if it's really good or bad investment. So define it, of course, but also define how you're going to track it.
Well, I think part of that too is, you know, there's all these buzzwords like social media and SEO, and they hear all these things and they think if they check the box and are doing something, then they're doing it. And that this is the most crucial piece. So anybody write this down. Don't just say, yeah, we paid somebody to do our SEO. Well, okay, now do the analytics on that and see if that's working. If you're going to be spending money on LinkedIn, Facebook, if you're going to do mailers, whatever it is, track it. To Tyler's point, find the milestones. We want to get 100 new leads from this campaign. Where are we in that? Okay, we've got 4 and it's been 9 months not working. Like, but they check the box and they move on to their days, which having been an agent, we all know the days are crazy and they get busy. But if you can stay diligent in this, I promise you the juice is worth the squeeze. Robert?
Well, if I can just expand on what you were saying there for a second, Rick, I think that follow-up is so critical, not just tracking what you do. Tracking, absolutely, 100% has to do that. If you don't know what's working, you could be hurting your company doing what you're doing from a marketing perspective. So you absolutely have to track it, see what's working, see what's not working, but then follow up with people that respond.
Yes.
I've seen so many people in my own experience. Someone reached out to me on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. They did it with a product pitch, which you should never do. It's horrible. But it was actually something I was interested in and I've been thinking about. And so I responded back and I said, this sounds great. I'm available next week. Give me a call at this number. I didn't get a response.
Wow.
Wow.
They sent out this blast, you know, Twitter DM to how many people, whoever their new connections were. I responded back. I was interested. And this happens all the time. I ran a test last year on Twitter. People send those automated DMs all the time, those direct messages. I responded back to 25 of them and said, I would love to talk. Give me a call. Here's my number. One person of those 25 wow. actually responded. This goes outside of insurance. This is industry-wide, but to your point, they're just checking boxes. They set it up and they said, I did it. I'm doing social media. I don't need to do anything else. Emails, the same thing. I've responded back to emails or even calls, the same thing. People don't... They don't care. They just.
I wonder why my business isn't growing. I'm doing all the social media. Wait a minute. Michael.
Well, that kind of brings me to the point. Know what you're good at and know what you're not good at.
Yeah.
Have, you know, professionals come in and help where you don't have an expertise. For example, we have a chief technology officer that does all our analytics. I don't like analytics. I know they're important. But I don't want to be deep in these numbers. So I brought some on board who knows numbers and how to, you know, analyze them way better than I do. So I would just say, you know, use resources outside your agency, outside what you're good at, and know where your limitations are and where your time is best spent.
Yeah, stay in your lane to some degree, but don't just let it fall off. I mean, the fact that someone reached out to Robert and didn't respond. I mean, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? That's such a waste of time. And now not only that's worked in a double whammy negative, because now if they ever reach back out to Robert, he wouldn't have anything to do with them anyway. So I think a good timing wise here, I'm going to switch over to the Q&A. So we've got some great questions that people have typed in. I want to do those. So how we'll do this part is, if it's one you want to get in on, raise your hand and I'll call you out. Just if you don't have to say anything. This one is specific to Michael. Someone said, what was the other social media platform other than Instagram that Michael mentioned? This was a long time ago. Michael, did you say something else other than Instagram?
Yeah, I said voice. So I talked about Instagram stories, paid Instagram.
That's actually stories. The second question is Michael mentioned voice. What is that?
So Alexa, you know, how do I find the best insurance agent? That's voice. Voice is, in my opinion, one of the emerging technologies that is completely underutilized in marketing in general because it's so new. So, for example, Safeco, one of the biggest carriers out there, is putting a ton of money into voice. And I don't see hardly anybody on the agent level looking into those options. So that's the one of the biggest waves that I think coming is voice. So there's a lot of different platforms out there for voice, but it's basically, you know, doing business without having to type or talk on your phone.
How lazy can we get? We can't even can't even pick up our fingers anymore.
We're lazy.
Tyler and I can tell you that that's something that's been talked about in our organization and is starting to be roadmapped as the same thing, because you're right, Michael, it's just the next iteration, right? Everyone's used to saying, Alexa, turn off the lights. Okay. Oh, that's funny. I'm in a conference room and I just said Alexa and it lit up right over here next to me. Yeah, hush. All right. This is from Chelsea. She asks, what would be one tip you have when first starting out on the social media sites such as Facebook, Instagram, Twitter? One tip. Anyone want to take that?
Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, Robert,
yeah, go ahead. Say, you know, start with your profile. So LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it be, make sure it's got key information about you. And then that's the first step. Second step, and write it from the perspective of a potential customer so that when they come there, what they see is going to make them want to reach out to you. So that'd be the first step. Second step, engage with others. It's social media, not anti-social media. So if you're just blasting out content, which you do want to distribute content that adds value to your target audience, but if you're just blasting out content and you're not engaging with anybody else, then you're that crazy person on the side of the street, screaming through a megaphone 24/7, eventually people are going to go to the other side of the street. They're going to ignore you. So you want to make sure you're engaging with others, you're validating them, you're starting real conversations and real relationships. So I'd start with those things. Get a good base of establishing a strong personal brand through your profiles, your content, then start to engage with others and connect with people you know. If you're starting with zero connections on LinkedIn, for example, or Facebook, reach out to those people you know already, friends, family, people you work with currently, people you worked with before, people you went to college with. Because if you're sending out messages to 10 people, you're not going to get a lot of value out of it. But if you, everyone knows probably 500, 1,000 people you can start with, and then your message is going to go out to exponentially more people, increase your awareness, increase your reach, increase your opportunities.
I think it's interesting too, when you look at that, when you're trying to grow that sort of base, the more people you're connected with, the more people they're connected with. And when they say, you know, Robert Knope likes this and I see it, then there's somebody else there that I might be interested in connecting with. And it's sort of that domino effect that you can use. Tyler, you wanted to chime in on this one too?
Yeah, I think that one of the places that people fall down a little bit when they try and get on social and start things out is not really having defined what their brand is. And it's a hard thing to do, right? It happens over a period of time. It doesn't happen overnight. But if you can take a few minutes and write down a brand promise to say, you know, this is what I'm trying to do as a brand, and keep it short, keep it to two or three sentences, that will help you in writing the profiles. It will help you in being authentic in the way that you express yourself, because writing the actual act of writing it down is a really important first step that can make all the subsequent steps a little bit easier. So that's an important exercise that you should go through before you even start to get on some of these other platforms.
And then Tyler, just from your experience, what's the, like, how often should you be revisiting that brand promise and not only confirming that what you're putting out there is matching it, but maybe adjusting it or changing it as your brand changes? Is there a timeline on that?
No, I think in the beginning, it's really important to revisit to make sure that you got it right, that what you wrote down feels authentic, that as you've decided to embark on these new channels, you're being honest about how good you can express that in those channels. But I think over time, especially after the first 6 months, if you're active, that should be locked. You know, that should be something that you're not revisiting that often, unless there's a meaningful reason that you're, that your audience or your customers is telling you need to change it, right?
Right.
You should have a pretty good sense of that, because that's the touchstone that allows you to communicate who you are from. So it's important not to change it a lot, I think, after you're comfortable with it.
Michael, are you raising your hand, or do you just want everyone to see your organ ring?
I had a piece of info for someone new, and to be honest, for anybody in social media, most people think insurance is boring. Okay, just a newsflash for everybody. Be fun. That's what we try to do. People want to be engaged with things that are fun and different. If you just post boring insurance articles every day, you're going to miss a huge segment out there.
Robert, did you want to get back in on that?
Yeah, 100% agree with what Michael was saying, and even and want to piggyback on what Tyler was saying as well. I think the first step is to figure out where your target audience is. You don't need to have 10 social media channels. You can only have one or two. It's okay. You know, for example, if you're B2B, you're selling commercial insurance, you shouldn't be on Snapchat. That's not where your target audience is. You're going to have no shot of success there. And from the same perspective, if you're doing commercial lines, LinkedIn is all B2B. That's where you should be spending your time and effort. If you're doing PNC, you should be doing Facebook ads, boosting posts, as Michael mentioned, Instagram, telling the story, things like that. That's where you want to spend your time and effort. So really knowing your target audience, and it comes back to that data, of course, who buys your products and services, figuring out that, that's going to determine what channels you want to utilize. That's where you, that's really the first step.
And I think go ahead, Brent.
As I was kind of thinking about this, it occurred to me, probably the first thing most people need to do is have someone objectively look at their profiles. Not yourself, because what you think might be okay isn't necessarily okay. When we get a job applicant, the first thing we do is, right, you go Google them and see what's out there. So that's what your customers are going to do, and make sure it's nothing that you're going to offensively make them unhappily from the very start.
Yeah, I think back to the earlier point, if you wrote all of this down, or if you're not doing what Tyler said, what Michael said, what all of our panelists have said, don't just check the box. Take the time, and Robert made a really good point. You don't have to be in every single social environment. Be in where it makes the most sense and be really good at it. I think that's the key. Okay, so we're kind of running on a little bit of time. This is from Andy. What mobile solutions are going to be needed going forward for an agency management and marketing team? Recommendations for SMS and MMS solutions for inbound texting, attaching documents to text, agency apps, carrier apps, etc. So kind of, I think that the topic there, mobile, anyone want to jump in on that? Tyler, yes, please. I lobbed that one up for you. Please talk about Agency Revolution.
Sure. One of the exciting things that's happening for the platform in the coming year is texting abilities. So we will have texting native to the platform at some point in the very near future. But some of the questions relevant to that are, how do you use it? How do you make sure that you have the right permissions in place to use it and all those other things? So as these technologies emerge, it's really important to have a partner like Agency Revolution that can help you understand and navigate the waters. I mean, that's one of the things that our tool does really well is help people understand what regulations are in place to protect you, or that you can potentially trip you up. And then the other thing is, because this is emerging technology, attaching documents and that type of thing, we are interested in hearing about this too, because there's some places where you can really be helpful to the customer that I don't think have been totally figured out yet. So whether it's through links or otherwise, just be really careful about how you're moving forward with the technology if you're on the forefront of it.
And I would say, to obviously drinking some of the Kool-Aid here, but insurance-specific technology is important, especially when you start branching out into things like texting, talking to companies like ours. There's other companies out there as well. Our product Fuse is already text-enabled. You can do it. We have sort of a best practices around We don't recommend using text for, hey, your payment is late, because you don't have the same level of documentation and all the things that you need if that policy cancels. So things like that that are very insurance specific when you're looking at technologies would be a recommendation I would say would be good. Anybody else want to jump in on this one?
Brent? So your management system should be texting.
Yes.
If it's not. And actually, we do keep track of that. So if you're going to send whatever message to a customer through text, it's automatically documented in our system.
Perfect.
I think a lot of them are doing. I think it's going to change over time because the texting capabilities are becoming better. And I think we'll probably have to upgrade to meet that. But yeah, also, I think we talked about preferred method of contact a while ago.
Yeah.
It's easy to mark that in the system or any system, I would think. And then if it's texting, boom, you hit a button and you start typing.
Good. I'm going to go to the next question. This will be our last Q&A question, and then we'll wrap it up. Any examples of what's included in a brand promise? Anybody want to just kind of give your sort of 2 cents on what a brand promise might look like? Yes, Tyler, go. Now you're muted now all of a sudden.
So what I would say is, what is your brand delivering? What is the promise you're making to your customer base? What are you doing for them? And this can be, because it's very specific to the business, especially as you talk about insurance agencies that are niche or whatever it happens to be. It's very hard to say this is the specific thing that you would do. But what is the primary promise that you're making to your customers that you are saying you're going to fulfill, that you're committing to fulfill for them? And I would be interested to hear what Michael has to say about this, but that's really where you should be focused.
Yeah, so we, like I said earlier, we make it about the communities that we're doing business in. We promise to give back as much as we can through both money and time, and supporting our clients, philanthropic endeavors. So that to us is our biggest brand promise. So, you know, our brand in general is about accessibility and letting consumers do business the way they want to do a business. But in general, you know, just being a good community partner with what communities you're doing business in is our biggest and my biggest passion.
Yeah, that question was from Jenna. Thank you, Jenna. Okay, so I'm gonna ask one final question. Try to keep it between 30 and 60 seconds in your answer, ideally 30, as we answered a lot of great questions today. There is only one thing you could do in 2019 to market your agency. What would it be? Brent, one thing.
From an agency standpoint, what I would say is actually take a hold of your marketing and don't just expect and check the box. We have a lot of agents, for example, that want to integrate with Agency Revolution, and then they talk to you guys and they go, wow, that's a lot of work. We're like, yeah, it's not magic. There's not a silver bullet. Yeah, you actually have to put some effort into it. So I think if you're going to do it well, do it right, and don't be afraid to put some effort.
And then to back up Brent, you know, we have a lot of Zanatech agents, and they find that once they do the work, then some of that work can be automated on their behalf, and they have marketing. Tyler.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I would just encourage everybody to do is make a decision and be consistent. Commit to that decision, picking up on what Brent had to say. The last thing that you want to do is spend all this time setting up campaigns or getting new technology in place, and then at the end or in the middle somewhere, move away from that. Because you put the effort in, so you need to complete the turn. And it's just a tragedy when people decide not to do that, because the hard part is over with. It's the next steps that really you yield the benefits or you reap the benefits. And so don't turn away and be consistent.
Robert?
Yeah, I would say at a very high level, embrace change. I mean, the pace of change is faster than ever, and it's only going to get faster. So if you're thinking like, oh, this thing isn't going to affect me. Michael mentioned voice, for example. If you think, oh, that sounds crazy, that'll never be something that's important to myself and my agency, you're going to struggle in a few years. So you have to embrace change. You don't need to be on the cutting edge, you need to have an open mind and start to adopt technologies that are going to help your company and new methods of doing things. You know, for example, social media didn't exist 10 years ago. I can't imagine any agencies incredibly successful nowadays without having deep roots in a social media strategy.
Michael?
I would just say be ambitious. I mean, if you want to be the best, you have to work just as hard, if not harder than everybody else. So if you want to have one thing that you're good at, you better be better than everybody else at it. So that takes time, that takes effort, takes a lot of things that a lot of people aren't willing to do to be successful. So if you want to be good, that's fine too. You don't have to always sacrifice everything to be the best. But, you know, my perspective with collegiate athletics, that's kind of how my brain's trained. It's to be the best at anything you do. And that takes a lot of work. So commitment.
Yeah. And for any of our listeners that have listened to any of these webinars, I've said this every single time. We go to conferences, we sit and we hear all this great information. I'm so impressed with our panel today and the information that they've shared with you. But the one thing that I always say is don't hang up from this webinar. Don't leave a conference. Don't do all of those things and just go back to your day. You've got to take something out of this meeting, whether it's there's 100 nuggets that that have been shared by this group, but something, take something and go do it. And if you do that, I promise you'll be rewarded with whatever work you put into that. So as a last sort of parting of ways, I would just want to go around and have everybody tell how people can get a hold of you and what you have going on or what that is. So start with you, Tyler.
Yeah, sure. LinkedIn's always a good way to reach out if you're interested. We are obviously at agencyrevolution.com. The people over there are always looking to talk to people, whether you're looking to purchase the product or not, and just have a conversation about where you're at with your marketing and how we can potentially help. So I'd encourage everybody to visit. Check out the podcast. It's phenomenal. That's it. Keep listening to the webinars and keep participating, because that's one of the best ways for us to interact with our clients.
Robert?
Yeah, I would say LinkedIn as well. You can see my name on the screen, Robert Knop, K-N-O-P. That's where I am 24/7, best way to get in touch with me.
Great. Michael?
Yeah, any insurance launch platform, we're on every platform basically, but my direct email is michael@insurancelaunch.com if you want to reach out directly. But if you go through any of our direct insurance launch platforms, it'll get to me if you ask for me.
It's short on the last one, michael@insurancelaunch.com.
Correct.
Okay. Even though you're a duck, I gave you that last little shout out.
I appreciate that.
Brent?
You can find me on LinkedIn. The key thing is you got to spell Zanatec right. It's not a drug of any sort, although I joke and say we probably could make more money selling drugs often, but hey, that's a different story. So,
but could we argue that it's such a good management system that it's addictive like a drug?
Hey, I've said that. It helps cure your woes. But so it's X is an X-ray, A-N-A-T-E-K, or you can email me at brent@zanatec.com. And thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. From an agency revolution perspective, as Tyler said, if you have follow-up questions, you're more than happy. I don't know that I need to be introduced myself. I'm the president of Agency Revolution. My email is rfox@agencyrevolution, R-F-O-X. You can also just email anything to grow@agencyrevolution.com. And for those looking for information, this webinar will be recorded along with other webinars that we have done on our media page at agencyrevolution.com. Great engagement. So happy that we did this. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for all the incredible information. And that's it. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, all.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Adam.
Thanks, God.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.